When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 2nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Carlos Rodon, 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks. I wish it were 4Ks so I can say the force is with him, but no, it's 5Ks. Only time I've ever wished fewer strikeouts from a guy yesterday from Carlos Rodon. So I've been saying, look, Carlos Rodon is going to be fixed. It's going to be okay over time. I still believe that. I do want to see the starts, though, where Rodon is pushing 96, 97. I mean, his season average at 95.3 on the fastball is the matching last year's 95.5, but there were times of lower velocity that really evened that out. And I don't want him to be steady at a 95.3. I want to see some of those games at 96, 97 where he really does push it. Now, he did go 97 yesterday. He did top out there. He didn't ramp up as he normally does in the past. Like, it usually is like 94, 95, and then he pushes by the end of 96, 97. But it's not quite the overwhelming fastball so far for Rodon. It's a 10% swinging strike rate, not the 15%. And what I'm seeing right now is Rodon isn't getting the strikes that he normally does with the four-seamer. And the slider is a sub-60% strike rate as well. So it has turned into batters actually being more aggressive on Rodon's fastball than other fastballs inside the zone. The early ball and play percentage is about 20%. When he does throw an early four-seamer, which I know is like all these variables and everything. What I'm trying to get at is that batters are quicker than usual to swing at his four-seamer, and they're putting it in play at the moment. That tells me, A, he cannot be trusted to throw an early slider for a strike right now, and B, that his fastballs are just not quite what we want them to be at the moment, either being too wild and then too predictable at 1-0, or just not really being dominant right at the top of the zone at the moment. Is this fixable? Absolutely. Is this something that can change? Yes. I am also going to recognize that he hasn't done it yet. It's been 5 starts, and at some point we got to like be hitting our wrist, like, let's go get this together. I'm still very much in on Rodon. I think he's a fantastic buy low right now because I recognize that I am much more in on Rodon than everyone else is. I've been seeing ridiculous things about his season-long projections moving forward, and the idea that these 5 starts are what he is for the rest of the year is just bonkers to me. That said, I'm not going to just sit here and say he is a definitive top 20 starter the rest of the year. No, I'm recognizing maybe he doesn't come back in time. So I am saying I believe it will, but we also need to recognize, okay, it's not a lock that it will too. Framber Valdez threw a no-hitter yesterday, and you're surprised, Nick, why didn't you lead with that with a roundup? Well, first of all, we led with Framber Valdez last week, Frozen in Framber, which is a wonderful Jurassic Park one. Thank you, Ethan Kaplan, for that fantastic graphic and idea for that one. But it was pretty much saying, look, we just keep going with Framber Valdez. Like, things should be fine. He removed his ace, he's going to ace label, and that's what we did. And what do you know? He throws his no-hitter. Did he pitch significantly better in this one than we've seen? Honestly, not really. I know that sounds crazy for a no-hitter. You're always going to see good hit luck in a no-hitter. It was a -6, which is the greatest hit luck he's seen all year, which means he should have allowed 6 more hits, according to PLV, than he did in this game. But one walk, props to him there. I would not say this was the best I've seen Framber Valdez all year. I saw that 13 strikeout game, and I've seen 8 innings of dominance. I've seen other games where I think there was overall a more complete pitcher. There were a lot of sinkers that were just kind of in the middle of the zone here, and whatever, the Guardians didn't do anything with it. Still, 12 whiffs on the curveball, really good to see that. The cutter wasn't there. And it's really weird that the cutter wasn't there for Framber Valdez. But he obviously didn't need to. He just kind of chucked sinkers over the plate for 12 called strikes, at 12 whiffs on the curveball, and there you go. But, we just keep starting Framber Valdez. That's all I want to say. Like, he's not going to... This isn't going to be repeated. Anyway, Sandy Alcantara against the Phillies, 8 innings, 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. That's 2 straight amazing starts from Sandy Alcantara, totaling 17 innings. He could have gone out for the ninth. I mean, it was 101 pitches. He could have done it. He didn't want to get out of the game, but whatever. It was only 5 Ks and 10 whiffs because his changeup was not down enough. It was inside the zone, but it was not under the zone. And he got a little bit more lucky in this one than he did in the previous starts. He kind of pitched similarly to other games where he had like one blow up inning, and he just didn't have that blow up inning here. So that's really good. I love Sandy Alcantara, and I really do hope that this is the stretch I've been talking about forever. I would have been more, I really expected to come in here. I mean, I saw the end part of the game. I was really excited. I didn't get to see the first part because of all the trade deadline stuff, and then I checked it out later. And yeah, I wanted to be more amped about this than I am. But I'm still obviously very, very excited about Sandy, and this is why I've been saying, hey, guys, go get Sandy Alcantara. He's been ridiculous. I think it's like a 2.5 ERA now over his last, six, seven starts, something like that. Something really, really good. Andrew Heaney had an amazing game against the White Sox. Got the win, 11 strikeouts, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. 6 innings. Kind of weird because the slider was not that great commanded. I mean, it was out of the zone and competitive enough, especially as a slinger, that the White Sox could not handle it. And the four-seamer had times where it was really well elevated as well, but this wasn't like Andrew Heaney, oh my gosh, look at you, I'm so believing you moving forward. He's a cherry bomb. The start does not dictate anything different as he gets the Marlins next, and this is why he's a cherry bomb. At least I should raise him in the rankings, because look, here it is, 11 strikeouts, this is what you would be chasing. There's something more believable now in Heaney possibly doing that again. Zach Eflin against the Yankees did really well, and we got all the good things here because we didn't think he was going to go very long with the knee discomfort last time, so the Rays weren't going to pitch him that long. It was 72 pitches, but it was 6 innings of 0-run ball. Great stuff. The Yankees aren't very good at it as an offense, especially with Aaron Judge, as Fast would like to say, having 9 toes right now. Yoán Oviedo did really well against the Tigers. This was really like Professor Chaos-esque levels of weirdness. 7 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. That's awesome. We give him the thumbs up, and we kind of move on. He's a cherry bomb streamer, really. Good matchups, I guess we're okay with Oviedo. Spencer Strider, ace is gonna ace. And 31 whiffs, just not 32, like Irish Panda on the other side, who is not very good, but he did go 200 runs in 5 innings, 7 base runners, 3 Ks. Like, he couldn't exceed a 22% CSW in anything. His main 3 pitches, I don't want to start Patrick Sandoval anymore. Ranger Suarez against the Marlins. He might get ousted as it's a 6-man rotation right now for 2 weeks with the addition of Michael Lorenzen. Suarez might be the one that's ousted at the end of it. They said they'd return to it in 2 weeks. 6.1 innings of 1 run, but 10 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. The command isn't there. I would not be going after Ranger Suarez. Pablo Lopez is amazing. I love the fact that he's killing it with those sinkers inside. He allowed a hit on one, which was so stupid, up and in. First pitch swinging, it was clearly jammed, but it was a flare to right, shallow right field. It was so annoying. But four seam return to 40% plus CSW. Changeup got a ton of strikes. He's getting really close to that ace is going to ace label right now because I just feel so confident in Pablo Lopez and what he does with a 5 pitch mix. It's really insane. A lot of pitchers to get to. Jesse Schultens, which is kind of strange, got the gold star yesterday, but also Gavin Williams and Lance Lynn and Kyle Brash. A lot of guys to talk about, of course, and tomorrow's starters and today's starters and maybe some trade implications from yesterday's deadline. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. So Jesse Schultens got the gold star. Why? Because he went against Texas and went 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Shocking to see that we're going to see a lot of Jesse Schultens now that Lynn and Giolito are gone. Do I really want to believe in 33% called strikes on his breaking balls? Not really. But hey, maybe if he features his curve and slider 60% of the time, that could be something. I don't know. I don't really want to go after Schultens. Zach Greinke's going to do whatever he does. Pedro Avila had to step in yesterday with the Weathers deal going to Miami. And we might see him a little bit more, that there is some shoulder soreness from Joe Musgrove that has Nick Martinez starting today. I'll talk about that in a second when I go over today's starters. But Avila in Coors actually did kind of well with the 55% curveball. 55% CSW curveball. I don't really think it's that legit. I watched this one. It's a mediocre 94 mile per hour heater. Sometimes that changeup worked well low. 18 whiffs overall. It's really shocking, but I don't think he's that good. But I'll obviously monitor this, and it's cool to see him do that well in Coors. Miles Michaelis did well against the Twins, 7 strikeouts in 7 innings. And he might be worthwhile against Rocky Road and the Royals next. That's fine. I might have in the bottom questionable, I guess. He's been really bad, though, for a bit. I kind of don't really want to do it anyway. It's just like, ugh, whatever. There's a chance of this kind of stuff, so I do need to recognize that chance. Gavin Williams against the Astros, 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. And if you were a part of the morning stream from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time, you would have seen me talk about Gavin Williams and how he really needs to execute the Blake Snell blueprint better than he is. Right now, it's not a great situation as he goes against the Jays, and he'll go against, I believe, the Rays after that, or the Astros. He has a very bad schedule ahead. I believe it is Jays and Rays. So I would not touch Williams at the moment if he's available on your waiver wire. However, as the season progresses, I want to see more of that high location, the four-seamer, and the low strikes of sliders and curveballs. And if he gets there, which he could be better as he goes on, there might be something really, really exciting at the end of August into September for Gavin Williams. I'm actually really in on him for next year for that reason. Lance Lynn against the Athletics as a new Dodger, 37% CSW before a King Cole. 7 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. This is everything you want. It was the Athletics. Very interesting to see the Dodgers not let him throw his cutter. I didn't expect this change. I don't know why. I kind of like Lynn's cutter. I think it's still a good pitch. He did allow 3 solo shots, by the way, so the home runs are not completely gone. And he did throw more curveballs instead and 4-seamers. So 70% 4-seamers with curveballs going only 5 for 13 strikes. I don't really quite get it. Maybe it's just like, don't throw cutters, just throw 4-seamers instead, they're better. And that kind of makes sense. So then he has to find something else with his secondaries, but we'll see what happens here. I mean, this was the Athletics too. I don't really want to read too much into that start. Kyle Brash did well against the Jays, 7 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Pretty much matching there what Lynn did, but against a much tougher opponent. 7 over 34 whiffs on his sinker is very strange, as he threw more sinkers than 4-seamers. I don't really think that's going to stick around. We have the curve and slider going just 4 over 39 whiffs. Strange game here from Bradish, especially against the Jays. He gets the Mets. I think so. Like, you're going to start and they're just going to keep running with that. Speaking of the Mets, Cozy Quintana against the Royals, 6.2 innings with 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Very disappointing as the stream pick of the day, as the command just went out the window. Like, what the heck, man? Now he gets the Orioles next? And they're like, no, if you don't have the command, I'm not going to go after Quintana, so not going to do that. Freddy Peralta against the Nationals got the win. A poor quality start with 7 Ks. 10 over 24 strikes on the slider. You can't do that. And it's really annoying because I really wanted to think that Peralta was taking that step forward, but it does look like he's a little bit more of a cherry bomb than I want to admit with the volatility of those breaking balls. So fine, I need to lower him on the list just because of that reality. Four-seamer is arguably as good as it's ever been. He just needs that slider and curve to really unlock its full potential. Alex Cobb did not have splitter whiffs, but he got splitter outs, and I guess that's good enough for a poor quality start and 5 base runners and 4 strikeouts against the Diamondbacks. The slider isn't there, just like, what, 3 or 4 splitter whiffs? It's annoying, and I think we're okay moving forward, but it's just Alex Cobb. I mean, fine, you get the Angels next? Yeah, honestly, I don't want to do that. I take that back. He gets the Angels and the Rangers next. I'm moving on from Alex Cobb. Angels are a better offense with Cronin and Grichuk there. Rangers are a terrifying offense, and to see that volatility still being there with the splitter, I'm not a fan. Zach Gallen's in his really weird state right now. 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. This was in Oracle Park against the Giants. And I've been talking about the Gallen blueprint, which is 4-seamers low within curves and changeups underneath. And that works. It's called strike machine. 43% CSW and 9 whiffs in the 4-seamer as it went upstairs. He's trying to do the Blake Snell blueprint now. And I'm not saying that can't work. I just wonder if the fastball is made for that. And it's different than what we've seen him have so much success with in the past. So I'm a little weird about it. The secondaries did get low. They weren't as tempting as we normally see, and that might be because of the lack of low four-seamers. So I don't know if this approach really is the real deal or not, but it can work. I just want to see something that is consistent and just, what do you want to do? Do you want to do the big cell blueprint? Do you want to do the gallon stay low approach? Whatever it is, just focus on that and nail that. Okay, cool. Brian Bello against the Mariners. And by the way, I don't know if he is ace is going to ace now. It's been a while. I'm going to be thinking about that for the list next week. Maybe we do get one more start of him. We do on Sunday, and I'll probably make that decision there. Brian Bello against the Mariners, 6 innings, 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts against the Mariners. It's still such a sinker and change, and without that third pitch getting whiffs, it's just kind of okay. Yeah, it's not really the guy I really want to see from Bello. He does get the Jays next, which is obviously a bench, but then you have the Tigers after, and obviously you're holding through that. Justin Steele is fine. He didn't really throw that well. He had a massive lead and just kind of threw things in the zone. I'm like, all right, whatever. 4 earned runs and 6 innings. We're not moving out from Justin Steele. Also, that crazy stat correction from a double to an error removes like 5 earned runs from that Boston start. And by the way, if you remember that start, I was said, hey, he pitched kind of well and just didn't go his way. And then the next start, he pitched exactly the same and did well. And there you go. Matt Manning against the Pirates. Remember last time he had the skills of 95 mile per hour fastballs and slider whiffs? Yeah, not here. 94 mile per hour fastballs and 4 slider whiffs. So we are very much out on Matt Manning now. Kyungjin Ryu returned from Tommy John. 5 innings of 4 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. He's a Toby at best at this point. It's not the super good changeup of old. He could get better. But to see him kind of be lackluster in the first start back, which is not atypical, but it's just showcasing like, all right, you don't need to do it yet. I don't think like people are clamoring for a Ryu or anything like that. So just like wait it out. And the ceiling isn't present at the moment, right? Okay. Peter Lambert, no thank you, against the Padres. He also was down on his heater. In Coors, you have Waldichuk. He's a young gun for next year. He didn't do well against the Dodgers. Ben Lively got destroyed for 13 earned runs against the Cubs. Don't want to do that. Josiah Gray had hopes that he would do the Campbell McSanchez, that is the cutters upstairs. Didn't really do that much. Really more on sinkers. I don't like that. Slider and curveball were terrible. And yeah, this is just not the thing you want to chase right now with Josiah Gray. And then there's Bryce Miller allowing more home runs. He led 4 last time. 2 in this one, 5.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. I'm not a completely out because it's just been like 2 starts of doing poorly, and he did that before earlier in the season, then he recovered, and we're still going to go after Bryce Miller, but I do need to lower him a bit as he isn't elevating his four-seamer as much as I want him to. It's still very, very good. A super low zone contact rate of like 72% on the four-seamer, which is insane. Still, the secondaries aren't doing enough quite yet, and I think there's a little bit more risk involved in Miller than I've been giving him credit. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. We have Garrett Cole, Shane McClanahan, Zach Wheeler, Joe Ryan, Logan Webb, Kodai Senga in the auto start tier. Joe Musgrove is not starting today with a sore shoulder. It is Nick Martinez in Coors, and that's at the very bottom of this list. Do not start because he's just going to be like an inning or two as he pitched in relief 2 days ago in a bullpen game, and it's Coors. So keep that in mind for your lineups as probable start tiers. Logan Gilbert, Eduardo Rodriguez, still with the Tigers, which is very surprising to me, which means he does get that start against Pittsburgh, which is nice. Yusei Kikuchi against Baltimore, Tony Gonsolin against the Athletics. Tanner Bibee and Grayson Rodriguez are very contentious here at Houston and at the Jays, but I feel like if you have them, you're just going to do it. Questionable starts here. You have Cutter Crawford as my stream pick of the day against the Mariners. That could work out. I don't really love it, but there's a chance that he could go produce against the Mariners team that does chase a lot of pitches out of the zone. You have Dylan Cease and Giolito both against really tough offenses. Cease against the Rangers as he wasn't traded, and Giolito against Atlanta again for the Angels. That kind of showcases how this is not a good questionable start here. Those are absolute risks, but there could be some benefit, of course, with those pitchers being of higher quality than the rest of this tier. Mackenzie Gore is an absolute cherry bomb against the Brewers. Wade Miley's returning from the IL against the Nationals. It's really a still ill, but that maybe it could go well for 5+ innings. You have Braxton Garrett, who had a better slider last time, but the sinker and cutter command isn't there. Brandon Williamson against the Cubs. I don't really love it, even though higher velocity and decent four-seamer and cutter. Ronald Blanco's getting the spot start against the Guardians. That could work. Cole Ragans is starting. I'm super excited about it. As John Gray's game pushed back to the weekend, hopefully with the bullpen happening today. Cole Ragans was 97-98 on the four-seamer. At least that's what we saw in his last start. He gets the Mets now. I don't think that you need to start him for this one, but I'm very, very attentive to that. And Dane Dunning gets the White Sox with maybe that could work. with John Gray. That's the John Gray one. Cole Ragans, of course, with the Yarbrough trade happening, means that Yarbrough is out of the rotation and Ragans is in. But Dane Dunning now gets a start today for the Rangers, and that could work against the White Sox. Drew Smyly in the do not start tier against the Reds. That could work. We only threw 4.1 innings last time, and I'm not totally sold that his new command is going to stick. That could work, though, against the Reds, maybe for a sneaky win, as he could be open for again with Hayden Wesneski. You have Hogan Harris, Kyle Freeland, Osvaldo Abido, Yonny Chirinos already going right now. Slade Cicino going for the Arizona Diamondbacks, making his debut against the Giants. I don't really think he has amazing stuff, but maybe we'll see. I generally hate chasing prospects anyway for their MLB debut, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Dakota Hudson going in place of Jack Flaherty against the Twins. And you have Nick Martinez, as I mentioned before. Looking forward to tomorrow games, you have Kevin Gausman, Shohei Ohtani, Max Scherzer, and Julio Urias as the clear auto starts. Probable start, you have Sonny Gray against the Cardinals. That seems clear. Mitch Keller and Christian Javier are also here. I think Mitch Keller pitched better in that Phillies game and really got locked in as you went on. I think there's a lot to like here against the Brewers. And Christian Javier against the Yankees. I think that, honestly, his fastball was so good last time that this is just going to be too overwhelming for that Yankee offense. I'm going for it. Questionable start here. The streamer is J.P. Sears against the Dodgers. I really like that sweeper in fastball with J.P. Sears, but it is the Dodgers. Brady Singer is a cherry bomb who had an incredible slider command last time out, and he gets the Mets who are just very low morale-wise. Michael Lorenzen could be decent enough in his debut for the Phillies. I think that'll make him better against the Marlins. Jack Flaherty, same reasoning why I want to start him more so than others. Against the Jays for the Orioles, I feel like he's going to be his best self with all the adrenaline there. Brian Wu against a tougher Angels offense with Crone and Grichik is in the middle of this. Also hasn't had his best fastball. Johnny Cueto could make it work against the Phillies. James Santino against the Reds. Maybe he squeezes it out. One more time. Clark Schmidt against the Astros does not seem like a fun start whatsoever. Adrian Hauser could sneak a win maybe against the Pirates as he chucks fastballs. I don't know. They do not start tier. I do not trust Brandon Pfaadt, even though he is in San Francisco. I just think there just isn't enough. I don't trust the 7 whiffs he had last time with his 4-seamer. Carlos Carrasco against the Royals. I don't trust Carlos Carrasco. Sorry. Not even against the Royals. Luke Weaver maybe is doing something different against the Cubs, but I want to see more of it first. Matthew Liberatore against the Twins, absolutely not, with the lower velocity and no slider. Tuki DeSant with maybe the new curveball, but it's Texas, absolutely not. And Sean Manaea, who threw a 7-pitch save on Tuesday night, is going to likely have an opener on Thursday and probably not go very long in that one. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for all the support, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.